How to have fun anytime, anywhere. Step one, go to ChumbaCasino.com.
ChumbaCasino.com. Got it.
Step two, collect your welcome bonus.
Come to Papa, welcome bonus.
Step three, play hundreds of casino-style games for free.
That's a lot of games, all for free.
Step four, unleash your excitement.
Woohoo! Chumba Casino has been delivering thrills for over a decade. So claim your free welcome bonus now and live the Chumba life. Visit ChumbaCasino.com.
VGW Group, no purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions, 18 plus.
Fall into big savings, all in the Kroger app. Get 3-pound packs of juicy Kroger red, green, or black seedless grapes for $3.99 with your card and a digital coupon. Then get 1-pound packs of flavorful Private Selection 80% Lean Angus ground chuck for $4.99 each with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Stuck behind never-ending windows, all you need is a door. Searching for something to put a smile back on your face. Just remember, in unusual times, it can come from an unusual place. You need a partner for the ride, 'cause everybody needs a Clyde. So set your worries to the side. Pretend I got a hand I can lend, 'cause when you really need a friend, just ask. Shit 90 Shows taught me.
Shit 90 Shows taught me was not filmed before a live studio audience.
Are you ready to slay another day? So are we. Welcome back to Shit 90 Shows Taught Me. I'm Jess Sterling, here with my co-host, Sarah Ferguson. Sarah, how are you?
Horrible.
You have to ask me why now.
Oh, I'm sorry. Why are you horrible, Sarah?
I'm horrible because I just caught my significant other making out with the chaos demon.
Yeah, he's slimy. He's gross. But that's anybody what Jululu likes.
Anybody but him. I'm okay. I'm vibing.
I'm glad to hear it. Mm-hmm. We're talking about Buffy, season 3, episode 8. Lover's Walk, and we're not alone. Joined on this incredible episode with us is the one, the only, Lindy, TV Lindy. Lindy, how are you?
I'm doing great. I am not a shell of a loser. I am I'm doing way better than most of the characters in this episode.
Everyone's having a rough time this episode, every single one.
And yeah, there was a lot of sad, whiny babies at the end. We got like one of those sad monologues.
Everyone's
montages.
Crying. Yeah, montages. Everyone's crying. Everyone's sad. But you know what? Almost everyone did it to themselves. So I'm not pitying them right now. It's their own fault, in my opinion. We'll get into it. I'm excited to talk about this episode because while the last episode, Revelations, or I think it was last episode, barely revealed anything, Lover's Walk is the episode that I've been waiting for. This was a great episode. Not only do we get Spike coming back, but we get Zillow getting caught with the nasty little cheating scandal. And I was here for it. I was here for all of this. Lindy, welcome back to the podcast. Now, you've been on Buffy before, but I can't remember. So I'm going to ask you, is season 3 your favorite season or was it season 2?
Neither, actually.
That's exciting.
I'm someone who my favorite season hasn't happened yet. I'm not going to say which it is. I don't want to hype up anything in particular for you two, but my favorite season has not happened yet.
Interesting. Okay. Well, explain to us why you chose this particular episode to guest on, Lindy. Is it the revelation of it all? Were you waiting for the comeuppance?
Well, there's so much drama in this episode, which makes it very entertaining. And also, it's the return of Spike. And I really enjoy Spike as a character. So that's why I'm here.
Incredible. Sarah, were you excited to see Spike back?
Yeah, I really liked Spike this episode because I just thought that he was so funny. Everybody knows I really love a down and out vampire. Like, if my vampires are brooding or sad, then I am all in. So seeing this side of Spike was really hilarious. The actor did such a good job just like portraying just being absolutely miserable and drunk and hoping to get Drew Lulu back. So all in all, it was really funny to watch the whole thing progress. And then ultimately he's like, wait a minute, I don't need a love spell. What I need is to be my old nasty mean self again. I can win her back. And then seeing him drive off with the cigarette in his hand and screaming my way from the radio, it was a lot of fun. And it reminded me why I really like Spike. I think like I forgot throughout season two because he was like wheelchair bound and had the case of the borings. But now I feel like he's on the up and up again.
Yeah, I think that when you compare Spike to Drew Lulu, that's where we get into trouble because like Drew Lulu is so incredible that by comparison, Spike is like, eh. But sad Spike is a mood. Sad Spike is everything. I was very excited to see him back. I thought the editing in particular this episode was really funny, that they would do these like cuts of like, who would want to be in Sunnydale? And then there's Spike coming into town and he's singing like a sad version of My Way by Frank Sinatra. And it's a full circle moment in the end when he's like happily screaming it on his way out of town. I was here for it. I was here for this entire story of basically since they left town together, Drew Lulu was like, you've gone soft. You're not the like nasty demon I fell in love with. They went to Brazil. Lindy, she did the worst thing you could possibly do to a partner, which is say, we could still be friends though, but we could still be friends.
It's tough. It's hard for them to be friends when Spike saw her making out with the chaos demon. I just don't think you can come back from that very easily.
No.
Have you heard how nasty they are? They're slimy. They have antlers.
Antlers don't feel like a... I feel like antlers aren't a... What's it called? Like a deal breaker for me. Mm. Slimy is, though. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so that's a bridge too far. You would kiss someone who has antlers, but not if they're slimy.
Yes.
Fair enough.
I don't need a slip and slide with my partner.
So I'm saying it's like slimy in what way? Like, is it the slime where you touch it and the gook is going to come off on your hands? Because like also, Uzi. I have dogs. I can't date someone who's slimy because he's literally just going to be coated in dog hair constantly.
Ew, Jessica.
It's true, though. These are the realities of the situation.
And you're so nasty. Spike, talking about nasty.
So Spike is back in town, and he's, like, super drunk pretty much most of this episode. And this I thought was interesting because, Sarah, we've talked about this before, like, vampires in media and how, like, what the rules are about vampires in media.
Yes.
In True Blood, from my recollection at least, vampires couldn't get drunk. The only way they could, like, get drunk or like inebriated in any sort of way was like drinking. I think the blood had to be like spoiled or bad or something. Okay. But in this show, vampires can get drunk. And this I thought was so fascinating.
Was it drunk on alcohol? It was a little vague of what he was drunk on.
Lindy, it looked like alcohol, right?
To me, I think it was definitely alcohol. He was drinking a bottle with kind of a dark liquid,
like bourbon.
I don't think there's any ambiguity there.
Okay. All right. Yeah, I wasn't evaluating the substances within the bottle. I was just saying that he looked drunk.
Yeah, well, he's a little bit of a bitter Betty, and he sees Angel and he's like, this motherfucker, like, seriously, like, this again? And he goes to the little witchy shop owner and he's like, I'm going to get some stuff here. And then he sees Willow come in and he's like, oh, this little girl, she's a little practicing witch. She's doing a little black magic. And so he decides, I'm gonna kidnap her. I'm gonna just kidnap her. And I'm gonna force her to do a spell for me to get Drululu back.
Can I say, for all of those ingredients that Willow was purchasing from the magic shop, $1580 seems like a bargain.
Very reasonable.
Very, very reasonable. Now, this magic shop owner, I don't know how many magic shops are in Sunnydale. I'm assuming there's probably just one. So she can really hike up those prices. She can really inflate the numbers. But she says, no, I will not do that. I am for the people. I will absolutely take care of my fellow witches. And I will make my shop very affordable. Which I was like, wow, what a bargain. I would buy the whole entire lot.
Yeah, $15 seems like pretty cheap for an anti-love or love spell. The problem is now she's dead. So I don't know where Willow is going to get.
Major problem.
I don't know where Willow is going to be getting her supplies, but it ain't going to be from her. You know, they don't have Amazon at this point yet. So she can't just be like ordering Raven Feathers off Amazon.
Yeah. But what's Jeff Bezos, like, what are his magic ingredient numbers looking like, Lindy?
Sorry, what?
Never mind.
Jeff Bezos, the owner of Amazon.
Right. Sorry, I don't know. What was the question?
I'm just wondering, like, what his numbers are like. I mean,
his prices?
Yeah. For magic ingredients.
I don't know.
Yeah.
But what you can't use a punch card with Bezos, you know? Like, this girl definitely had a punch card. She seemed like a punch card. Card?
Or you made
she
that
seems
up.
Like someone who's like, no, like, buy 10 Raven's Feathers, get the 11th free.
Uh-huh.
Maybe.
Anyway.
So these are not authentic. Well, they said natural goose feathers. That just won't do. But they're black. They're $7.19 on Amazon. I can get them.
Are geese black?
They're dyed, Jess. I can get them by tomorrow at 10 a.m. That is pretty.
Okay.
Rooster feathers. Just like, I don't think that raven feathers are very accessible.
Yeah.
So I don't know if Mr. Bezos is providing me with what I need. And what I need is raven feathers.
Mm-hmm. And so Spike gets this idea of, I'm going to take amateur witch Willow, kidnap her and her boyfriend. Well, not really her boyfriend, but for all Spike knows, it's her boyfriend. And I'm going to threaten his life and force Willow to do a spell for me, make a spell to make Drululu fall back in love with me. And then all these shenanigans happen, right? Where it's like, okay, he needs to go get the spell book, which doesn't make sense. Is Willow just, was this a lie by Willow, Lindy? Because we literally saw the spell book in like the chemistry lab with her. Was she just trying to get him, Spike, to go to Buffy's so that Buffy could like kill him or something, or like notify her that she's in trouble?
That's a great idea, because if Spike has to go to Buffy's house, Buffy's probably going to find out about all of this.
Yes.
And so Willow has bought her and Xander some time and also potentially alerted Buffy to this problem.
That was my thinking, Sarah. I don't know if that's the case, but it seemed like reasonable to assume.
Yeah, sure. I mean, it's also reasonable to get all of your witch supplies off of Etsy, because you too can get 3 raven feathers, authentic raven feathers, for what it describes is for magic, witchcraft, natural shedding, and good energy. A set of 3 for only $17. So
that's more than Willow paid in total. Inflation, man. Inflation.
It's 2024. What do you expect? So yeah. I just want you to know, if you are looking for all of your magic ingredient needs, maybe Etsy is the place for you.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Yeah. So
go to Etsy.
Or you could try to support local businesses like this one was. Maybe
it's closed down, Lindy. That person's dead.
Not this one, but other ones.
Or find a raven.
Yeah.
And wait until it drops a feather. And there you go.
I've told this story many of times, but in my old town of Cranford, New Jersey, there was this soap shop called Witch Baby. And it was soap that was made by local witches. And they sold the witches' soaps. Mm-hmm. It was like bath bombs and soaps. They did sell some crystals, but they were bopping. They're still in business, I believe.
So one of my favorite scenes in this entire episode is when Spike goes to Buffy's house and is venting to Joyce about his romantic woes. Now, Sarah, I don't know if you remember. Do you recall? Because Spike and Joyce have met.
Yes.
And Buffy had lied and said they were in a band together.
Sure.
Did Joyce ever find out that Spike was evil? Because I don't remember.
I think she knew, but Spike has that natural charisma. And he just talked to her and was like, Joyce, I really need your help. I am suffering right now. I have been broken up with. My girlfriend kissed the chaos demon. My life is ending. And Joyce, just being that phenomenal mom that she normally is, said, hey, Spike, come on in. I will give you advice and I would give you tea. I really
cocoa with marshmallows.
Oh, yes. Yum, yum, yum. I really do think that Spike came to this house at least like 45% to get life advice from Joyce. I fully believe it.
I can see that being true. Go ahead, Lindy.
I think Joyce knows a little about Spike because when they had that conversation at the end of season two, when he was working with Buffy, at one point she's like, have we met or something? And he's like, yeah, you hit me with an axe one time. Like,
that's right. Hard. That's right.
So she probably knows he's bad news, but I don't know for sure if she knows that he's a vampire.
But right, that's true.
I even love if their she little knows he's mad. Conversation. She's just comforting him. Well, Drusilla sounds very unreasonable.
Yeah, and Angel is doing what he does and creeping and stalking as he does. And he sees Spike, so he tries to go inside. Of course, he is unwelcome. He has not been invited. And Buffy is really going to have some explaining to do to her mom next episode, because there's a whole bunch of stuff going on that Joyce doesn't even know about. She didn't know Angel was back. She didn't know Angel is now good. She doesn't really know about Spike. She didn't know Willow was a witch. And now she thinks Xander is a witch too. So there's a lot that's going to have to be explained to Joyce.
A lot of was absolutely revealed. And it was just like, there was a lot of Joyce must have been so confused, because I'm sure she felt like she had the lowdown on a lot of stuff. But then this kind of Uno reverse carded it, because, yeah, essentially she thought that Spike was good and that Angel was bad. And then now Angel is good and Spike is bad, because then they fight. It was really funny seeing like Buffy come in and Angel there and Spike, and Joyce was just like, I am just so confused about what is happening. But ultimately the three of them had to work together in order to find Willow. Spike does do a little fib, because he's like, hey, what do you say? Like, I need a book to remember where I like left her. Or something like that. Lindy, do you remember what kind of it was total bullshit, but do you remember what the bullshit was?
Oh, I thought he was just telling them that I'll tell you where they are once we have what I need.
Yeah, he was like, okay. It's not like I'd bring them to that burnt down warehouse. Duh, that would be too obvious. And like, that's exactly where they are.
He did that. So then he's like, I need to go get the magic book in order for.
And he needs supplies too, because they left all the supplies at the chemistry lab.
Right. But it seems as though like I thought it was also really funny how she was like, Buffy was like, I actually just know that you left them in the factory. And he's like, no, I didn't do that. And he totally did. That was so funny. Spike's really a fun character when he's not wheelchair bound.
Isn't he? And I love the scene in the kitchen with Joyce when Angel shows up and Spike is so happy that Angel's not invited in, but he is. And then he's taunting Angel behind Joyce's back. It's so funny.
It was very like na 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 boo boo. Like, mm-hmm. Yeah,
hilarious. Yeah,
I really liked this trio because I liked Bangel being read for filth by Spike about, like, it's so obvious you guys still love each other. Like, you're going to be in love until it kills you. I love the line, I maybe loves bitch, but at least I'm man enough to admit it. Like, it was really funny because anytime Buffy and Angel have been together, no one else has been around. So no one else has really been able to kind of witness their dynamic after everything has already happened between them. And it's very obvious to everybody that, like, they still have feelings for one another. But I love Spike just, like, calling it out and throwing it out all on the table. Because it does cause Buffy to kind of have this self-reflection of, like, he is obviously the reason that she's gonna not want to, like, necessarily go away to college or something. Like, and this is, Lindy, like, for as much as we're talking about a show that has, like, vampires and werewolves and all that stuff, this is very relatable, where, like, going away to college if you have some sort of romantic interest could be very difficult.
Yeah, I mean, if I had had a boyfriend in high school, I could relate to this, but I didn't, so I can't.
Lindy, why did you just read yourself on the podcast?
I'm sorry. I don't know. But no, it totally is, you know, people thinking about their next step after high school. It's a big leap. And for Buffy, the stakes are even higher. Like, she has to deal with, you know, her destiny as a slayer versus, well, I might want to go to college and I got a good SAT score somehow. So maybe, wow, I actually can go to college.
Yeah, the SAT talk was interesting to me, Sarah, because obviously when we were in high school and when Buffy was airing, like, SAT scores were, like, the thing. Like, you needed to score well to get into a good college. But I think it's interesting that they're like, oh my God, Buffy, with these SAT scores, you can get into any school. And it's like, are they not looking at her grades or, like, her academic, all the time she's been suspended and in trouble? Like, does that not matter to these colleges? They're like, wow, good SAT score, you're in.
I mean, maybe. I really don't know what. I suppose if you test really, really well, you can wind up getting a scholarship. I'm not quite sure. What was the score? 1480, 1430?
Yeah. So back in the day, it was out of 1600, and she scored like a 1480, which is really good.
Yeah. I mean, that is very good. Do you think that? So, like, Buffy's just one of those people that tests really well. She's really smart, but she doesn't obviously apply herself when it comes to schoolwork because she's too busy. I mean, she did study for it, which I previously had said that that's a scam. Like, don't waste your time. But maybe it is worth it if you're getting really high scores like that.
Yeah, it's, yeah, I guess. I don't know. The SAT stuff was interesting mostly because, like, now Buffy has the option, especially with Faith in town. Like, Faith could theoretically take over her spot as Slayer. And with people like her mom and Giles both saying, you should go to college, like, you should spread your wings a little bit and see more of the world, I think that's, like, overwhelming for Buffy because, Lindy, I don't think Buffy had ever thought that college was an option for her, both with her grades and being a Slayer.
Yeah, it's also probably not something she's had too much time to dwell on, what with, you know, her evil boyfriend having to kill him and everything else going on. She probably hasn't sat down and thought, huh, where do I want to go to college? But it's becoming more of a reality now. I mean, she's a senior and she's gotten this good SAT score and Faith is here now. So it's really like maybe she can make a choice that's like more for her than for the fate of the world, you know?
I mean, you can't tell me that they're just not going to go to Sunnydale University. Like, come on. It's like, yeah. I've seen this film before and I know the outcome.
Yeah, we all know they're not going anywhere. Like, Xander's going to be working at, like, a McDonald's.
No,
Buffy's not leaving town.
They're all just going to go to the same university. I'm going to ask the question. I do not remember my SAT score, but does anybody want to boast about their scores?
I don't recall my exact score. Like, I remember it was math, reading, and writing were, like, the three subjects. And I remember being surprised that I scored better in math than I did in, like, I think it was writing. I think my best score was reading and then math and then writing. I remember I did okay. Like, I didn't do, like, I didn't, nothing to write home about. Like, I did fine. I did well, not
maybe if you practiced well. Writing home, your writing score would have been better.
Yeah, probably should have done that.
I do remember my score, but I don't think it's really, I don't think you can say your score without sounding like you want people to know it. So I'm not going to say it.
Was it, okay, well, also you're probably, did you do the new SATs scoring system?
Yeah, ours was out of 2,400 because there were the three categories.
Hey, it's Ryan Seacrest. Life comes at you fast, which is why it's important to find some time to relax. A little you time. Enter Chumba Casino. With no download required, you can jump on anytime, anywhere for the chance to redeem some serious prizes. So treat yourself with Chumba Casino and play over 100 online casino-style games, all for free. Go to ChumbaCasino.com to collect your free welcome bonus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Fall into big savings, all in the Kroger app. Get 3-pound packs of juicy Kroger red, green, or black seedless grapes for $3.99 with your card and a digital coupon. Then get 1-pound packs of flavorful Private Selection 80% Lean Angus Ground Chuck for $4.99 each with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Whatevs. It sounds like Xander did not do very well, but Cordelia did. And I just love that Cordelia was able to be like, yeah, like, I'm brains and beauty.
Yeah. Good for her. Cordelia, despite having some pretty tragic things happening to her this episode, I feel like ultimately comes out on top. We'll talk about it.
I don't know about that.
She's in the hospital
and now broken up with her boyfriend.
Yes, but ultimately, I think this is going to be the beginning of something good for Cordelia.
So you got to, like, hit rock bottom in order to build back up.
Exactly.
Okay.
It's time to take those photos of you and Xander out your locker, put them on a dartboard, and start hucking darts, you know?
That was so sad. I felt so sad for her that she, like, she was so down bad for him. She loved him so much. Like,
she literally categorized her life before Xander and after Xander.
She, like, had the photos in the locker. She went to the local Walgreens and got the photos developed.
She, like, was going to go bowling for him.
And even I wouldn't go bowling.
Just saying that, like, it's the worst thing in the world.
For Cordelia, it is.
Jess loves bowling.
I love bowling.
Okay, me too.
She was like a bowling minor or something.
A bowling minor?
No. I was a part of, like, my high school bowling team, and I bowled for many, many years as a kid.
That's very different, Sarah.
Yeah, no.
Whatever.
Sarah makes things up. It's fine.
Don't know if Adam was like, hey, I want to go bowling. I want to go to a double date with bowling. I mean, I don't know.
You would be the Cordelia. You would be the one that's like, I don't really want to do this.
Yeah.
She was going to do it. She was going to put her feet in used shoes. That's not a thing Cordelia does. But she was going to do it for Xander.
I think that I would just buy my own bowling shoes.
I owned my own bowling
Yeah. Yeah, and they were like clown
not
shoes.
Not surprising.
And they, but no, they were not. What are you? Sarah just says things like she's seen my bowling shoes. My bowling shoes actually just looked like white sneakers for the most part. Like, they looked like normal shoes.
They were size like 34.
No, they were. What do you mean they were size 34? I wear a size 10.
Yeah.
Anyway. Okay, let's go back. Let's finish Spike's storyline before we jump to the double date nonsense that happened, because we get Mr. Trixie's minions come after Spike and Bangel. Angel is still recovering. He's still getting back up to his full strength. And so, honestly, the fight scenes, as much as Lindy, we're not super into, like, the kicky punchy punchy of it all, I thought they did some pretty creative things with the action scenes this episode, where we had, like, Buffy using a broom handle and getting like shish kebabbing two guys on it. And I loved the idea of like chucking holy water at them as they're coming in. Like we had some pretty fun fight stuff.
Yeah, I was watching, when I was watching this, I was like, okay, here's the kicky punchy part. Okay, let's, sometimes yeah. I'm like, okay, I know they're just going to be fighting until it's over. But yes, I did like the holy water at the end, kind of like water balloons, but more deadly for these vampires. Yeah, it was interesting seeing, once again, kind of Buffy and Spike and Angel trying to work. Well, Angel wasn't working with them last season, but kind of working with your enemy against a common, a different common enemy.
Yeah, for sure.
I really did like seeing the three of them fight together. I think that they make an interesting trio that I don't think that we're going to see much more of because of
why kind not? Of
well, because Buffy was like boy bye to him.
I what if this okay, because I you know I was very into the thruple of Drew Lulu, Spike, and Angel. Mm-hmm. What if instead we swap out Drew Lulu for Buffy? Okay. I truly think this is going to be a love triangle at some point. I'm putting my stamp down right now.
I do think that, but I just don't think that like there's not a world where Angel and Spike are together because they kind of hate each other.
That's true.
And I think you have to let that go.
I want
you to like, you know, in Tangled, there's like those little lanterns that you yes. light up and they float into the sky. I want you to take those hopes and dreams, put it in the little lantern and let it float away.
Okay. But also there could be like forest fire. Like we're in like prime forest fire territory right now. So no one should be doing that in real life.
That's why you do it like over the water.
Oh,
mentally, I guess.
But yeah, I do like how we ended up with Spike at the end of the episode being like, you know what? Screw the love spell. I don't need it. I'm going to go find Drew, tie her up and torture her until she loves me again. And honestly, Lindy, I think that would work.
I mean, it very well might with these two. Perhaps we'll see. But I love seeing Spike's view on love here. It's very... a messed up perspective, shall we say. He says, mm-hmm. Love isn't brains, children. It's blood screaming inside you to work its will. That is a very interesting take on what love is. And then, yeah, Spike's epiphany is, I've been sad and that was the wrong approach. I've got to enact violence on my lover in order to win her back. And
yeah.
You know, since they're vampires, it actually might be the right approach.
Drew Lulu makes out with chaos demons. She would love this approach. She loved when Angel brought her, like, the bleeding heart of a child, you know? Like, she is into this messy stuff.
For a normal gal, I would say that that is not the right approach. For Drew, I think it's the right approach. And doesn't that speak on how right they are for each other?
Yeah.
It's like he really sat there and thought, what would my baby want? My baby wants a shih tzu and for me to torture people
and beautiful dresses with beautiful girls in them.
Yes. I loved that line so much. It was like the dresses come from, but there were also girls in the dresses. Yeah, Spike was great this episode. I was so happy to have him back. I hope we get him back again soon. I feel like this is going to be similar to season two where it's like he's there and then he's not and he's there and then he's not. But I hope to see him back soon because it really, really was fun. And I enjoyed the trio of Spike and Angel all together.
And I do have to say one thing about the Spike story here is that this is the second time that we've seen Spike arrive in Sunnydale and knock down the Sunnydale sign and say, home sweet home. And the first time in School Hard, he was very confident and, you know, powerful. And this time he falls out of the car and he's drunk and he's heartbroken. So
he's just
an interesting parallel and contrast here.
Mm-hmm. He's been through some stuff. This breakup really murdered him. It was so sad.
I love it.
I mean, okay, so
Drew broke up with him because he got too soft and he let Buffy go deal with Angel. Right?
Because he made because a deal he teamed with up. Buffy.
Yeah.
Yeah, he teamed up with Buffy.
I think that I said that. I think that I said that she would not like that. But I guess so.
Back in the day, you mean?
Yeah, like in the thing.
You but definitely honestly, said that.
But honestly, like, of course she wouldn't like it. That was kind of like a give me. So
yeah. She loves her vampires tough and evil. And I don't think that was what Spike was doing. He was being spiteful against Angel. All right, let's talk about the mayor before we dive into like all the double date drama, because this mayor, okay, he's practicing a little putt-putt in his office. And I just have to know, he said the line, "I would sell my soul for a decent short game, but it's a little late for that." Now, souls are very important in this show because Angel notoriously was cursed with a soul as a vampire to like ruin his life and everything. Then the soul got fucked out of him by Buffy. And then the soul is now back. Now, this mayor, he could, okay, to bring in the D&D lingo, if he has sold his soul, he can legit be a warlock. I don't know if warlocks exist in Buffy. Like, I don't know if this is how this works. My other thought, Sarah, is he could be like a daywalker. So like a vampire that is allowed to go out during the day or something. Some kind of creature like that.
Have we seen him go out during the day?
Well, he's in his office and there's like light coming in. So I thought it was I assume if he's the mayor, he has to be like available during the day.
Mm-hmm. I think that like I'm more on the side of like, I guess what you would call a warlock, but I don't know if he has like power, like superpowers. I think that he has sold his soul for power in general. So like, as in like getting this mayor position or having money, like I think that it just is as simple as like he has sold his soul in order to like move forward in life, in the caliber of life. So like I feel as though, and because like he is all powerful because selling his soul, people like have to pay attention to him. Once again, it's like, hey, like I'm going to sell my soul. If I'm going to sell my soul personally, I need like the creme de la creme. Like I need like, I don't know. I don't want to be the master of the universe, but like, why settle for mayor of Sunnydale? That seems like little cookies, you know?
What if, and Lindy obviously can't answer this, but I'd be curious to hear your thoughts on this theory. What if it's not that he like sold his soul to be mayor, but more so that he had like, not gambling debts, like something more serious than gambling debts. Maybe he's like terminally ill. And he's like, I will sell my soul to live. And then the demon is like, cool, but you got to be mayor of this place so that you can like run what's going on.
No, I think here we go. I got it. I sold my soul and I can get anything that I aspire to get or want. So it's like, he's like, you know, today I kind of want to be mayor of Sunnydale. Tomorrow I want World Series tickets. He gets whatever he wants because he sold his soul.
Except a good short game.
Yeah. Within reason. Yeah. Like, come on, Jessica. Within reason.
Mm-hmm. I was going to say, that's too powerful if you can get anything you ever want.
It's like Aladdin. Like, there's like certain parameters. It's like, oh, let me sign this deal. But there's no, you can't revive somebody. You can't make somebody fall in love with you. I figure out all the rest of the Aladdin rules.
Well, like a genie. Yeah. The genie rules.
Yeah.
So you think he sold his soul and in exchange gets wishes from a genie whenever he wants?
I think it's a demon.
I think it's like, I can get anything that I want, but then there's also a booklet that comes with selling your soul being like, these are the amendments like that you cannot ask for.
That sounds so official, but
yeah, you know, I mean, okay, but this is like a demon that like grants wishes.
So well, wasn't
of course.
I'm trying to remember the scene with the giant snake that they were going to sacrifice babies to.
Yeah.
I'm pretty sure he had a conversation where they were like, oh, well, I think it was Mr. Trixie. He was like, oh, well, there's one less demon you have to worry about or something. Yeah. Like, it made it seem almost like the mayor was like an indentured servant to the demon versus the demon, like the genie is kind of, you know, oh, I have to be tethered to this person until they do their three wishes.
Well, okay. What if, you know, like it's okay. Let's think about if I sold my soul to like Hades, it's like Hades and all of his other bad god buddies. It's like, oh, I owe all of them favors. I don't know.
Oh, I'm, you think he owes more than one demon favors?
Yes. Yeah.
That could be true because there could be tons of freaking demons. It's Hellmouth.
Yeah. I mean, there are.
I love how Jess always calls Sunnydale Hellmouth, but it's like the Hellmouth.
Hellmouth. There is.
That's not the name of the town.
No, Hellmouth is the name of the town. We know that there's billions of demons because in this world, if you're a vampire, you're a demon. So everybody is a demon. Who is not a demon at this
point? Everyone's demon in it up.
I've got demons. So
well, that's a little different, I guess.
No.
So, but the mayor is aware that Spike has returned, and apparently he was aware. He was like, "Oh yeah, they caused a lot of trouble and chaos last season," and he like laughs about it. He did.
He's like in season two, Spike was causing all kinds of trouble.
Spike was a problem, but he says the line, "This year is too important." And here's the thing. He could mean it's an election year. Like he's up for mayor again and he needs to win the election. And so he needs to keep a tight grip on everything going on. Or Sarah, could this mean this year is important? Like the year of the vampire, the year of the crow. You know what I mean? Like the year of something.
Yeah. Like the Chinese New Year said, yes. Like this is the year of the bloodsuckers.
Exactly. Like, could he mean something like that?
I think that it probably has to do with some sort of prophecy, which as everybody knows, I hate prophecies, but I think that the prophecy has called upon it that this year is important. Who spits these prophecies out? I don't know. Anybody could have called this prophecy, but I think it's probably another prophecy.
Okay. Interest a prophecy. I just think there's like a lot in this conversation to like pick apart that could be important. Mm-hmm. And I'm gonna be keeping an eye on this.
Yeah, I'm gonna choose to forget about it immediately.
That's fine. We all know of the two of us who the lore keeper is, even though you have shown with your post-its, you know what's going on.
I am like Buffy. I will not give a shit about any of this information unless I have to show my work. Then I'll
previously I would have said I was like Willow, but I'm not gonna say that anymore.
Oh, okay.
Because moving on. She
kissed Xander, and that's too far. But anyway, so he does. They send out Mr. Trixie and his minion. Well, Mr. Trixie sends out minions to go and get rid of Spike and whatever. No one cares. Anyway, moving. Anything else, Lindy? You wanted to talk about the mayor?
I obviously can't comment on a lot of things you said, but it is interesting how he's aware of Spike. He's aware that this could cause a problem for him. And so he just sends other people to deal with it for him. Like he doesn't have to go out and do anything himself. He can just order other people to get things done for him.
He's a daywalker.
We have not seen him. The day I see that man outside under.
Oh, Mr. Trixie.
Oh, Mr. Trix.
Is that who you're talking about? Or are you talking about the mayor?
I was talking about the mayor.
Yeah, mayor. The mayor does not have to, has not. He sends other people to do his
Will.
His bidding.
He did show up during that whole snake demon thing. He was there for that.
Inside.
Because he was like, these sewers are nasty and we need to get somebody on this.
It's all inside, Jess. It's what I'm saying. There's probably underground tunnels.
That he's a vampire.
You just said he wasn't a vampire.
I said he was a daywalker, which is the same thing, but he could go out during the day.
He can't go out during the day.
Well, we'll see. Can I just ask, Sarah, how do you feel about Giles going on a little camping retreat?
Not good.
Do you want to elaborate?
No.
Okay. Lindy, do you have thoughts on Giles going on a retreat?
I mean, he must have been like, hey, guys, I'm pretty busy this week. Can you just send Giles like away? We can explain it with one scene. I'll just tell Buffy I'm going on a retreat. But like the actor was like, yeah, but yeah. I'm a little busy. So like, I'll just do the one scene this time. I don't know. I have no idea.
What is this? This man's named Anthony Michael Head. That's
Anthony
his name.
Stewart Head.
His last name is Head.
I don't think that's a last name. I think that's fake.
That just feels like
I can look it up if you want. I was just kidding. I have no idea why they sent Giles away in this episode.
I did like the comment about how he packs too much because he does feel like an overpacker. So
I do want to say thank you for all the people that keep sending me Anthony Michael Head thirst trap photos.
I don't know where you're getting Michael. It's Anthony Stewart Head.
But it is Head, like H-E-A-D.
Yeah.
Such a weird last. Okay. Well, good for him. Okay. Can we get to the meat? We got to get to the meat and taters because, oh my God. Oh my God. Okay. So my first question of this whole double date situation, why the fuck is Xander like pro this double date? He knows him and Willow have feelings for each other. He knows they're being so fucking obvious about it. Why is he trying to get all four of them in the same place at the same time? This is dumb.
Couldn't agree more. I have absolutely no idea on earth why he would suggest that.
It's stupid. It's dumb.
It's not a good idea.
Especially because she's going to piss off Cordelia by making her go bowling. She doesn't want to go bowling.
No. I mean, all in all, it's a bad idea. I guess the only thing is that he wants to hang out with Willow in more situations. So he's just going to put himself in
bad
situations in order to hang out with Willow.
Sarah, what did you think about the Pez dispenser, the little witchy Pez dispenser?
Oh, I thought that was so sweet. It was really cute. And I liked that he like wrapped it up in newspaper and he was really excited to just like hand her this gift. And I thought that it was really cute how much Willow liked it. And I thought that she was like, maybe that they have a werewolf one and we can have matching ones. I thought it was really, really adorable. Not that Willow necessarily deserves such a nice gift, but I thought it was sweet. And it just like is very illuminating to me how what's his name? Oz. Oz is just such a good match for Willow. And I think that they're such a good couple, and it's just a shame that Willow didn't see that.
It's a real shame.
Pez witch is so cute, but like you can't even enjoy it because you know that there's an impending disaster of like, at some point Oz is going to find out that Willow's been kissing Xander. And so it's just more heartbreaking than cute, unfortunately.
Yeah.
It made me so happy. And the reason it made me so happy was because it was a gift for like no reason, right? It wasn't like it was like, oh, surprise, it's our anniversary and you forgot. It was just really just a gift because he's like, I think about you and this is for you. And she's upset because she doesn't have anything to give him back. And he says, yeah, you do. And then he just like leaves. And it is so sweet. It is so supremely sweet. And I think when I think about the fact that like Oz changes like 3 days out of the month, he is a werewolf and he is out of control, right? Like he has no control over himself and he is 100% relying on Willow and possibly some of the Scoobies, not Xander, because Xander will freaking go to sleep. And it's like, I feel like this is, he constantly feels indebted to Willow. I feel like he must feel so beholden to like, to her in a way and reliant on her. And I think in his mind, he's like, this is the least I can do. Like, you mean so much to me and you are there for me and I'm a freaking werewolf and you're my girlfriend. Like, that's crazy. And so I was so happy about this because I was like, yeah, Willow, feel that guilt.
You can get that same as Spencer off eBay for $1.99, by the way.
Oh, now that's a good deal.
What a bargain.
Yeah.
Also, I just want to double check, Lindy, that because you're the most knowledgeable on the show. We didn't miss anything in terms of like Willow really loves Pez, right? Like, it's just because it's a witch and she's like witchy.
Yeah, I don't think they've ever mentioned Pez dispensers before. I think it's just because of the witch.
Do you like Pez 90s. Candy?
I did as a kid, but I haven't had it in years and years.
Yeah, I haven't had it for a while either.
Now I want some. Do they still make it?
Oh, yeah, of course they do.
Of course.
Nice.
You can go to Five Below and get a pack of Pez for $2.50.
Did you look that up or did you just know that?
I looked it up.
Oh, okay. I just thought this was so cute. I love Oz so, so much. And so Willow, in her infinite wisdom, is like, first of all, the fact that her and Xander are having this conversation, he's like, can I kiss your earlobe? You're in the middle of school. Like, I was so mad. I'm like, you guys are so obvious. All I wanted all episode, Lindy, I was waiting. I'm like, who's standing behind the corner? Someone's going to see them by this stupid little thing that they're standing by. Someone's going to see him stroke her hair. Who's going to see him? I was waiting for it the entire episode because they're so freaking obvious about it.
I'm a little worried about how much joy Jess must have felt when they got caught. I don't think that's supposed to be a happy scene.
I was happy. I was very happy. Well, because this is stupid, Sarah. So in Willow's teenage brain, she's like, okay, I need an anti-love spell. It's like, I think they called it delusting, essentially.
Yes.
To cure this between Xander and myself. Instead of, I don't know, confronting the fact that like they have feelings for one another and maybe she needs to like do something about her current relationship. No. Instead, we're going to do spells. We're going to do witchcraft, which, okay, sure. They get kidnapped. Xander gets like knocked out. I knew it. I knew when he was laid up, horizontal, bleeding and everything. I'm like, they're going to make out. They're going to make out. It's going to happen again.
I thought that was very like funny teenagers, like, oh, I just wish that like I could just snap at my finger and I wouldn't have feelings for him. Oh, I know, I'm going to do a magic spell. So that's the sort of practical magic that I definitely vibe with. And in terms of them being trapped together, they legit thought that they were going to die down there. Of course they're not, because they're main characters, but they thought that they were going to die down there. So they're like, we have one last hope. And I was just gutted that the second that they start making out is when Oz and Cordelia walked in on them. Talk about like worst case scenario about what could have happened. Like, it's one thing if they were honest with them and they told them, or if like they told Buffy and Buffy told them, or if they saw something separately. No, these two straight up walked in when they were busting their butts, Oz and Cordelia, trying to find these two. Oz got his little sniffer out and found them, and they just walk in on them making out. It was terrible. And then poor Cordelia is so upset. She runs off and then falls through the floor and then gets stabbed by a giant stake. I'm like, this is the worst case scenario. Like, this is terrible. It couldn't have been worse. I mean, I don't know. You're happy that they got caught. Like, I'm devastated for Oz and Cordelia, who
certainly
are. Yeah. Oz is like frozen shut like a statue. Cordelia is literally stabbed in the gut by who knows what flying floor. It was terrible.
Listen, if I could have chosen Xander to get punctured by the metal stake, of course that's what I would have chosen. But the interesting thing I think is like we barely even get to see Oz's reaction, right? Like, because the aftermath is we're hearing Willow tell Buffy about this. We're not even seeing Oz at all. So I'm super interested to see how this is going to shake out, because based on what Willow was saying, it was like, oh, but I still want to be with Oz and Xander still wants to be with Cordelia. It wasn't like this was the eureka moment of like, maybe we shouldn't be with our partners. They're both still firm in wanting to be with their respective partners, which I think is interesting. But yeah, like Oz is using a little super sniffer, which I freaking loved. I love that being like, first of all, there's so many drawbacks with being a werewolf, Lindy, that I felt like Oz was owed something useful. And I'm wondering if this is because of his feelings for Willow that he can smell her, because he says like he can smell her fear. And I was like, that's interesting. Like, I wonder if it's a thing where obviously proximity matters, but also does his feelings for her like affect it? You know, like, okay, he probably, is he like a scent dog? Like if you gave him a shirt and was like, here, take a sniff and then like try to find this person, could he help? Or is it because he loves her that he could find her?
I was thinking, I don't think they've talked about this so far, but I was thinking that maybe it's that he's familiar with how she smells, and so that's why he was able to detect her nearby. And it obviously is about him being a werewolf, and like that's how he can smell the fear, and he knows Willow's specific smell. So maybe those are two kind of separate things of smelling fear and smelling Willow. But either way, a very handy skill there. But I think it's interesting how this all unfolds here, because, you know, Willow wants to do this anti-love spell, but like you said, she calls it a de-lusting spell, as though like she and Xander are just lusting after each other, which we kind of saw with them only ever making out after they saw each other in those fancy clothes. Like, it didn't come out of like an emotional moment. It came out of a, oh, we look good kind of moment. So it's funny how they turn to magic once again. Like in the last episode I came on the podcast about Bewitched, Bothered and Bewildered, when Xander does a love spell with Amy's help to try to
full circle, Lindy.
Yeah. So it's like, and Xander even refers to that. He's like, oh, I've had bad luck with these kinds of spells in the past, kind of a little reference to that happening. And that's why he doesn't want Willow to do it. But it's just interesting that after everything and the devastation of their partners finding out, like, yeah, Willow is saying, like, I just want Oz to talk to me. And Xander's visiting Cordelia in the hospital. And it just seems like they're not like, oh, we wanted to break up with our, you know, people because we need to be together. It was like, we just couldn't stop ourselves from making out.
Yeah. It's strange, Sarah, because I would have thought, like, they thought they might die. Like, it was to that point where they thought, yeah, we're either gonna be like trapped here forever and Spike's never gonna come back, or he's gonna kill us. So it's interesting to me that that wasn't, I feel like in most shows that would have been like the moment where they realize their love for one another and they can't be apart and they must be together, and, you know, kind of like this music plays when they kiss, and it's just like this big moment. What?
You spooked me.
Oh, I'm sorry.
I jumped out of fright.
But
I thought someone was playing music by accident, but then I realized what it was.
But instead, they come to the opposite conclusion, which is, no, I do want to be with my current partner. Were you surprised by that? Because I was.
I mean, do you think that that's what they were saying, or do you think that they just feel guilty?
I think both. Yeah. I think both. I think Willow both. Well, I guess let's take them individually, because maybe it might be a little different. I think Willow realizes what a great boyfriend Oz is and like how much he loves her. And so I think part of it is she feels obligated to be with him. I think part of it is she knows he's a great boyfriend, so like logically she should be with him. And then I think she maybe... I don't, personally, I think that Oz, I think Willow knows that Oz is a better boyfriend than Xander is. And I think she's, I think she'd be scared to actually get together with Xander in like a labels sort of way, a serious way, because first of all, jeopardizes their friendship. Second, like they have all that history together. And I also think she'd be scared of like, oh my God, this is actually what I've been dreaming of. What if something goes wrong? So I think that's where Willow kind of stands. Do you agree?
I guess so. I'm just more curious if, do you think, I think that Cordelia is like completely done with Xander. I feel as though Oz might be able to like come around, which makes me feel very sad for Oz.
Yeah, obviously Lindy can't tell us, but I agree with that. I think Oz is more likely to forgive Willow at this point, which I think is the opposite of what I had said previously. But based on Cordelia's reaction, which I was so here for, I was so here for this. Xander, in my opinion, Lindy, wants to get back to, with together with Cordelia. I feel like mostly out of guilt because she gets fucking punctured in the stomach, ends up in the hospital. I think he feels awful about it. And I think it's mostly out of guilt for Xander. Obviously, he cares for her too. And I think he's delighted by the fact that she actually is showing like true feelings for him and doing things like putting up photos of them in her locker. I think that was like, he, I think he was a little like taken aback, like, wow, you actually do care about me.
Yeah, I think him realizing that it's actually serious, like she cares about him and he's been not a good boyfriend because he's been kissing Willow. So but I don't know that it's all about guilt. I mean, I think he does want to be with Cordelia, maybe not for all the right reasons. Like he was like, oh, I can't have people knowing your SAT score, like my cred will go down. Like, what are you talking about?
You don't have cred, Xander. But, you don't have cred.
But
so you kind of think that like he's kind of being an opportunist. Like he realizes that like being with Cordelia gives him status that he didn't have before, and that's appealing to him.
I think that's what you're kind of definitely saying? Part of their relationship. But also, I mean, in this episode, she almost dies. And that could be a moment where he's like, oh, wait, I actually really do care about Cordelia. Like, I almost watched her die. Like, that's horrible. And so that could also be part of it. Like, maybe that made him realize that he actually cares about her. Plus the fact that now that him and Willow have been found out, he can't really be with both of them at the same time anymore, so he kind of has to make a decision.
Yeah, I was really tricked by what they did
the fake out.
Like I really did for a good hot moments think that Cordelia was dead and gone, and I was devastated, like mouth open. they got me good, which I kind of love, because just how like Cordelia like kind of looks like she passes out, and then we open up to like really devastating music and we're at the graveyard. But no, I got tricked, which was so funny. Just did you get tricked?
They got me for a split second where all of a sudden we're at a funeral and I'm like, excuse me? And yeah, and then we see Buffy and Willow and I was like, okay, no, wait, no, we're good here. They did get me for a hot second because I was like, I don't know, like in my opinion, Cordelia's on the show for the long haul. So I was like astonished and I'm like, maybe they bring, you know, it only,
I just can't.
So they
see
did
Cordelia.
Get you.
Yeah, they got you.
You said they got you until you saw Buffy and Willow, but like that's the reveal. Yes.
Yeah, no, they did get
I
me.
Love it. Every time I watch this episode, I'm just delighted by this little trick they pulled.
It's very fun. Very, very fun. I would have probably cried if they I feel as though, like, I don't know, like, did we think that they were going to kill off like Abby Morgan? Like, did we think that, you know what I mean? Like, there's
yes,
we've seen shows where they legitimately snatched people that we thought that would be for the long haul, which I don't really think that Cordelia is going to be on this show season 7, but
I disagree. I think she will be.
I just don't see her having a place once we get like past college. I don't know.
You don't think she's going to go to Sunnydale University?
With everybody else, maybe. I guess so. Gotta everybody got the good old scholarship. Like, I don't know. I feel as though we're going to just be opening the door for new characters eventually.
Interesting.
I feel like she'll be here for college and she'll be here for part of the Scoobies, but like high school, like I don't know if I see her like hanging out into their adult life.
I think she's on the show for the whole time it's on.
She barely tolerates these people, and now she...
I don't think it's... I mean, certainly I could agree character-wise, but in terms of like the show, I think everyone on the show loves Cordelia as a character. So mm-hmm. I just don't see, I think they'll invent a reason to keep her around, just like most shows invent a reason for people to stay in the town they grew up in, you know? I just don't see her going anywhere. But yeah, it was a massive fake out and it was really funny, like the way they did it. The one thing I was a little sad about was that we didn't get to see Buffy finding out about Xander and Willow being together. Like, we're coming in after the fact where she's kind of debriefing with Willow about like groveling to Oz. And that was a little upsetting because I was so looking forward to getting her reaction. And it just felt like, oh man, like I wanted to see it again. Like I said, I wanted it to be more of like a Friends thing where with like Chandler and Monica, where like one by one people are like finding out. So that was I was a little sad about that. I was a little disappointed.
She seemed pretty cool with it, honestly. She seemed a little unbothered.
I mean, yeah. She's been wrapped up in the Bangel drama. I mean, I think Buffy had her own problems in this episode
going on. Mm-hmm. Do we think that Buffy is done with Angel? Because she says that she was. She said, "We can't be friends. Like, you can't tell me that you don't love me, and I can't do this anymore, and I'm done." And if that's the case, then like, what is his purpose to be there? Is this the opportunity where it's time to say goodbye?
No, he's around for this whole season.
Oh, okay.
There's no way he's around for this whole season. They're going to go back and forth a couple more times. Like, this is like the Notebook. Like, you said it was over. It wasn't over then. It still isn't over. Like, it's no, they're going to get back together. We all know it. Like, Angel was not agreeable to this arrangement. Like, he was like, no, like, I don't want that. I think he'll leave Buffy alone. Like, he's still gonna stalk her, he's still gonna be a weirdo and like following her around and stuff, but I just don't see them being done at this point yet. Okay. Maybe end of the season.
Yeah, maybe. He's got to go sometime.
Yes,
you don't have, off. Yeah, Angel, you don't have to go home, you just can't stay here.
Exactly. That was our episode. Lindy, what did we miss? Did we miss anything you wanted to talk about that we did not touch on?
I think we covered like pretty much everything. I did think it was funny when Buffy's talking to Giles about her SAT scores and she's like, yeah, my mom's head spun around and fell off. And he's like, I'm just checking, like, not actually, right?
We're on Hellmouth.
They live on the Hellmouth. So yeah. You never know.
Okay, well, we did get some feedback from Tara. This was kind of about band candy. So was last episode band candy? When was band candy? It doesn't matter.
No, that was two episodes ago.
I watched in real time, and for me, the Xander Willow affair is the worst part of an otherwise outstanding season 3. It might be because I'm not as in love with Willow as the rest of the fandom. A lot of times I don't think she's a very good friend to Buffy, and I would have loved a more unified Buffy-Cordelia Faith friendship. That's interesting. If Cordy could stop being jealous of Buffy, they could actually have a good friendship.
Willow just tends to annoy me and uses her babyish, "Oh shucks, who me?" demeanor to get away with her bad decisions, which will continue on. I do kind of agree with that. Jess, I love your anger towards the affair. Well, you're going to love this podcast. It makes me laugh so much. Keep being awesome, ladies. Love the pod, Tara. Thank you so much, Tara, for your email. Sarah, my question for you, I want a prediction. I guess let's put our guesses in. Are Oz and Willow going to stay together?
No.
At least for now. No. Okay. No. They're going to be done. Is Cordelia going to forgive Xander?
No.
Are Xander and Willow going to get together? Like,
yes.
Close to now. Yes.
Yes.
Will they be together by the end of the season?
No.
No. Okay. I'm going to say Oz and Willow are going to stay together. Cordelia and Xander are not going to be together, but eventually Xander and Willow will have a very brief dating thing where maybe they kiss a couple times and then they realize it's not going to work out and they're better off as friends. I think that's where I'm going to land on things.
Gorgeous. Stunning.
We'll see what happens. Sarah, do you want to hear the title of next week's episode?
Yes.
Season 3, episode 9, The Wish.
I love wishes.
The genie, Sarah, the genie.
Mm-hmm.
You could be right.
You could be so on to something here.
Lindy is smiling and laughing in a way that makes me feel like when we said the episode title was Revelations and Todd was like, yeah, sure, Revelations. And then nothing got revealed.
You never know. Well, you never know.
I'm deeply upset. I don't like when Lindy knows things and I don't. She looks so pleased with herself and I don't like it, even though I love Lindy.
I'm sorry.
Anything else to add, Sarah, on this episode?
No, I'm really excited to watch next week's episode. I'll probably do it tonight. Yeah. I also want to thank everybody for their patience last week for letting us take a skip week. I know that for a lot of our listeners, they were hoping that we would come out with an episode last week, but I appreciate everybody that was really understanding and sent us well wishes. So thank you.
Yeah, good point. We needed a little bit of time to breathe and decompress. But we're back, baby, and we're ready to finish off this season. Well, finish the back half, I guess. I'm really liking it. I think there's this so many places this season can go at this point. You know, though it's opened up a bit now that the Zillow of it all is known. So I'm really excited to watch the next episode. I really liked this episode. I thought between the dynamic between Bangel and Spike and then everything going on with the double date of it all, It was just fun. Like, it was a fun episode, despite the fact that there were some like devastating things that do happen. Poor Cordelia. But more to look forward to next week. Lindy, thank you so much for coming on and chatting with us and, you know, completing the circle of Spike arriving into our lives and you getting to talk about him. Can I ask, because I can't remember if you've answered this already, have we met your favorite villain on the show or no? Not
my
yet.
Favorite villain. I'm gonna say no, we haven't.
Ooh. Okay.
But there are a couple at the top, and so maybe we've met one of them, and then maybe one of them we haven't.
Gotcha. Okay. Interesting. Well, I look forward to meeting your favorite villain. What else do you have going on, Lindy? Where can people find you?
Well, thank you so much for having me. It's always so much fun to be here, and I love this episode, so I was really happy to come talk about it. And I'm usually over on Whirlwind Podcasts, so on One Indescribable Podcast. Now we're going through the show Schmigadoon, and we're pairing that with musicals that it is inspired by, so that's been a really fun project so far, if you're interested in that. And I'm also on Previous Little Liars, where we try to guess what's happening on Pretty Little Liars, which is a ton of fun. So yeah, check those out if you haven't.
Incredible. You can find us at Shit 90s Pod everywhere, including Blue Sky, which is the hot new social media app that we're all joining. I thought it was called Blueski. It isn't, but in my head, I think it will always be Blueski. So go find us over on Blueski at Shit 90s Pod. We'll be back next week with season 3, episode 9, The Wish. And until next time, everybody, here endeth the lesson.
Shit 90 shows taught me.
It is Ryan here, and I have a question for you. What do you do when you win? Like, are you a fist pumper? A woohooer, a hand clapper, a high fiver. If you want to hone in on those winning moves, check out Chumba Casino. Choose from hundreds of social casino style games for your chance to redeem serious cash prizes. There are new game releases weekly, plus free daily bonuses. So don't wait. Start having the most fun ever at chumbacasino.com.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Fall into big savings, all in the Kroger app. Get 3-pound packs of juicy Kroger red, green, or black seedless grapes for $3.99 with your card and a digital coupon. Then get 1-pound packs of flavorful Private Selection 80% Lean Angus ground chuck for $4.99 each with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.